You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning and welcome into First Take on this anniversary of the sports shutdown. Stephen A. Smith, Molly Karam-Rose, Max Kellerman, gentlemen, so good to be with you. And we have a very special guest, Stephen A., as you just mentioned, who we owe a debt of gratitude towards. So let's get right into it. I don't want to waste a moment. 1 year ago, the NBA season abruptly came to a halt as Jazz center Rudy Gobert's COVID-19 test came back positive. Moments before the tip-off of a game, the NBA announced that night that it was on hold until further notice. This was the beginning of postponements and cancellations in the world of sports as we mark the anniversary of the sports stoppages. We are pleased to welcome in the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And Dr. Fauci, let me tell you this from the bottom of my heart, from all of us here at ESPN. Thank you so much for all the sacrifice, for your service, for the sleepless nights, for the long days, to your family, to your staff. We owe you so much gratitude, and we're so grateful to have you running point for our country here. So thanks for being with us on First Take.
Thank you. Appreciate you saying that.
Of course. It's the truth. All right, let's get right into it here. So one thing we want to know as sports fans, obviously we all miss, is being in attendance. When do you think we could potentially see arenas, stadiums back at full capacity?
You know, when you're talking about stadiums outdoor, that's obviously an easier thing to get going rather than indoors. But what we have in our favor that we did not have last time we had to make a decision. You just showed the clips of the very difficult decisions that were made. We have a vaccines, plural, now. And every day, at least 2 million people, and we're likely more than that, every day will get vaccinated to the point where I believe we are approaching the normal situation we would like to see with regard to sports, particularly easier with outdoor like baseball. I mean, I can't tell you right now exactly what's going to happen, but I can tell you as we get into the spring and summer, you're going to see a progressive increase in the capability of getting people in the stands, maybe not full capacity right away, but certainly less than what we saw more than what we saw last year, and less restrictions. We have some things that we need to address, like these variants, which might put us off course a bit. But I think if we get people vaccinated at a very high rate, I think we can get around and obviate the problem with the variants. So big time getting people vaccinated, that's going to be the answer.
Dr. Fauci, the NBA had a bubble and completed their season successfully, no positive cases. The NFL and Major League Baseball both didn't have bubbles, and MLB had a shortened season. But the NFL had a full season and played the Super Bowl. Now, we're in a situation with over 500,000 American deaths from COVID. So their resumption of kind of more normal life maybe than ought to have been had, there was a price to pay, obviously, in human life. In retrospect, what do you think about the NFL's season, completing the season in the pandemic without a bubble?
You know, I think they were able to do it. They had some setbacks, as you know, unlike some of the other sports. You don't want to be criticizing what people did. They were able to get through the season. They were able to have a successful Super Bowl. They paid a bit of a price for it now. Looking forward, I think next season we're going to see something entirely different than that. We're going to see an approach towards normality if, in fact, Max, as I said, we continue to get as many people vaccinated as we possibly can.
Dr. Fauci, again, thank you for being on the show. Honored to have you here. I asked this question because obviously we've heard the news. We know the numbers to some degree about how this has ravaged the African-American community. I want you to speak to how important it is for African-Americans to go out and get vaccinated. Obviously, everybody, all American citizens, everybody across the world should be getting vaccinated. But particularly as it pertains to the African-American community, could you speak to the concerns that you have for the need to for African Americans to go and get vaccinated, sir?
You know, Stephen A., it's critical. I mean, totally critical. African Americans and Hispanics have suffered very much disproportionately with this outbreak, not only in getting infected at a higher rate, purely on the basis of the jobs that many of them have as essential workers in society. Superimpose upon that, that when they do get infected, because of the fact that they have a greater incidence and prevalence of underlying medical conditions that make them more likely to get a serious outcome. And if you look at the hospitalizations and the deaths among African Americans and Hispanics, it's absolutely more than the general population and whites in general. So we've got to get them vaccinated. We can understand and empathize with some of the hesitancy they have because history has not treated them very well when it comes to the relationship between the federal government and medical programs. They keep harking back, understandably, to the Tuskegee experiments. Most of the African Americans who are right now alive and getting ready to get vaccinated weren't even born decades ago during that time. But it's a memory that gets passed down generation to generation. So we've got to respect that hesitancy and try and overcome it by explaining why this is truly a safe and effective vaccine that will be life-saving, not only for them, for their families, and for the African-American community in general. It's not going to be an easy task, but we've got to put all kinds of effort, not only to get them vaccinated, but importantly, to get them easy access to the vaccine. Because right now, if you look at the percentage of people that have gotten vaccinated, African-Americans are disproportionately lower. So we've got to outreach to them with community vaccine centers in areas that are demographically very well represented by minorities. We've got to have mobile units to go out in poorly accessible areas. We've got to stock the pharmacies in neighborhoods in which African Americans prevail. These are the kind of things we need to do. We've got to make it better to access, and we've got to understand their concerns.
Dr. Fauci, with respect to life, not just sports, how long until there is a normal, or is there a new normal in the foreseeable future?
Well, I think it's going to be gradual, Max. I think we've already seen the CDC come out with the first in what will be multiple installments of what vaccinated people can do. You know, the first step in a family setting, vaccinated together with vaccinated or vaccinated with unvaccinated. You're going to be hearing more and more as the weeks go by about the things that we can recommend that vaccinated people can do. So we're going to see a continual approach towards normality. I hope by the time we get to the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall, we'll be very close to what we would consider normal.
And when you say normal, Dr. Fauci, specifically, what does that mean? Because even when I just took my shot the other day, they still said, we're still encouraging you to wear a mask. Even if you take your second shot, we're still encouraging you to wear a mask and things of that nature. So when you say normal, can you be specific about what you believe close to normal entails?
Well, what it's going to be is going to be really depending upon where you are and what the level of infection is. So if it's completely normal, that means that you could get on a plane and go to anywhere in the world and not worry about anything and not wear a mask. I don't think that's going to be that way for quite a while. In the United States, approaching normal, where we'll have gradual withdrawal of the need to get to be wearing masks, I think we'll be wearing masks longer than what we would consider normal. It will be, as Max said, kind of a new normal. We'll be wearing masks under certain circumstances when you're out in the community and not a high percentage of people are vaccinated. If we can get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated and the level of infection, namely test positivity, is very, very low, then we can start talking about going back from wearing masks. But right now, even though we're doing well, the baseline of normal, not normal, but the baseline of infections every day is between 50 and 60,000. That's extremely high. So even though things are getting much better, that's the reason why we still have to be wearing masks. A lot of infections still out in the community.
For sure. And Stephen A., you got your first vaccine. I can't wait to get mine as soon as I can sign up that day. I will be there. Dr. Fauci, I want to transition for a moment. I mentioned you've been running point for our country, but you also were a point guard on the court. So I've got some pictures. I need America to see the other side of you back in the day. And you provided us with a list of your top five favorite athletes. And I thought it's a pretty interesting list here. You got Cousy, Mantle, Curry, Scherzer, and Ham. But because you were a point guard, as we can see there from the photos, tell me this, two point guards on your list, who do you think's the greatest point guard in basketball history?
Well, you know, I hate to say the best, and that's why I said my favorite, but Steph Curry is amazing. I mean Steph Curry, his ability to shoot that basketball at three-point range. I mean, I was at a game right here in Washington, D.C., when they were playing the Wizards, and it was unbelievable. He was taking shots from a couple of feet past half court, and he missed like one out of 15. It was amazing. I mean, so I've got to go with Steph. I mean, he's just like one of the most exciting players ever.
Dr. Fauci, it seems like you like short point guards with handles. It seems like you picked the two short point guards with handles. Is that right?
Well, that is true because I can identify to them. I was a quite short point guard. I wasn't nearly within the same range as them, but I could relate to them very much.
And did you have handles? I mean, Cousy was the guy who, you know.
Yeah, no, I was actually, you know, I was okay. I wasn't bad. I had a lot of speed back then. The game was mostly a fast break game, that type of thing, and that was my kind of game. So, I mean, if I had to go up and up against somebody taller than I am, that's a problem. You try to drive around them. But on a fast transition game, I was pretty good.
Dr. Fauci, you talked about your favorite players. What about your favorite team? Who would that be?
Well, you know, right now, I live in Washington, D.C., and my favorite team was the, not last year, but the year before, Washington National baseball team that won the World Series championship. What an incredible team that was.
Did you grow up a Yankees fan? Because I see Mantle on the
list. I did.
There you go.
You know, I did. So I had a change allegiances. I was a very avid Yankee fan when I was a kid.
Of all the teams to give up, Dr. Fauci. I gave up the Knicks when I moved to L.A. The Yankees?
He's not bandwagon like you, Max Kellerman. Dr. Fauci, before we let you go, let's have a little more fun here. Who do you think's going to be in the World Series this year?
You know, it's a tough call. I mean, I have to be loyal to the Washington Nationals. But, you know, the L.A. Dodgers are really a very good team. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then let's go to the NBA real quick. Do you think the Lakers repeat again?
Yeah, I mean, they're an extraordinarily powerful team. I mean, anybody that bets against the Lakers has got a long way to go. So I wouldn't do that.
I don't think so. How about Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden? I like those chances.
Me too.
No, I do too, Stephen A. I actually do that a lot, particularly, you know, when you play in Brooklyn, having grown up and learned my basketball on the outdoor courts in Brooklyn, There's a lot of basketball spirit in that city.
Right. Especially they haven't had a champion since 55, a team since 57. They're thirsty.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. One of the biggest stories of the offseason so far is Dak in his money. He finally got paid, the Cowboys agreeing to a four-year, $160 million contract with their starting quarterback. Yesterday, Prescott and Jerry Jones discussed getting the deal completed. Take a listen.
Never had any doubt that I wouldn't be here, that this deal wouldn't get done and be right for the both of us and be right, as I said, for the organization and everybody invested. I'm not leaving. I'm a Cowboy, and this is only the beginning.
The truth is, most anything that I've ever been involved in that ended up being special, I overpaid for. And I will tell you this, if there's a human breathing that I've ever met that I'm proud that took advantage of me financially, I'm proud it's the one sitting to the right.
Stephen A., how should Dak feel about Jerry's overpaid comments there?
No, I think it's a backhanded slap. It's acknowledging I overpaid you. I don't think you're worth as much as I'm giving you. That's what the hell he's saying. You understand that? He might have said it with a smile on his face because Jerry's got that swag. Jerry could sit there and insult you and make you feel like you're 10 feet tall all at the same time because he's got that kind of skill, okay, as an orator, as a businessman, and just as an overall personality. It's impossible not to love Jerry Jones if you're around him. Trust me, I know this, okay? I hate Dallas Cowboy fans. They make me sick, okay? I'm just talking about Dallas Cowboy fans, not just people. I'm just talking about Dallas Cowboy fans. We know how I feel about them.
Some of your best friends are Dallas Cowboys
fans. And I don't like them when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. As much as I love them, I don't talk to them when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys because I can't stand listening to them say, how about them Cowboys, when they continuously lose and they act like they're something
special.
They don't take an opportunity. Yeah. They don't take a moment to smell a stench that they leave in their wake, and I can't stand that about them. But Jerry Jones will make you forget all of that if you hang around him for 5 minutes because he's that lovable of a guy. But in the end, basically, he's talking, I've never been more proud. You see, there's somebody taking advantage of me than this man right here. Got the smile on his face and all this stuff. But basically what he's saying to you, Dak Prescott, you really ain't worth it. I mean, you got me. You got me because I need you. But damn it, I don't think you're worth this money. That's what he's saying. And that's how I took it.
Boy, no one ever compliments Stephen A. Smith because you'll take it as an insult.
That's not true.
This dude just gave him a compliment, Stephen A. Hold up.
No, he did.
He said, "What? This is the." I've been quoting him saying this for months and months and over a year now. Mm-hmm. How Jerry has said, all of my best deals I've quote unquote overpaid for. All of my best deals I've overpaid for. The reason I thought they would get this deal done is because Jerry did not make his fortune on the margins. I'm going to save a little here and save a little there, and I'll put... Jerry made his fortune with a big imagination. Look at Dallas Cowboys and the stadium they play in. That's a big imagination. I'm going to own the Dallas Cowboys one day. I'm going to build this giant, new, most state-of-the-art stadium, the most expensive ever. And I know Giant Stadium is more expensive. That's a real estate deal. It's because of New York real estate, not because of the kind of grandeur and splendor of the stadium itself. In fact, I'll bet that Jerry, now that the contract's done, likes the fact that he's got the highest paid guy, arguably, depending on how you look at the contract. Mm-hmm. He complimented him when he said all of my special things that I've done, I've overpaid for. He's talking about criticism from people like me and the media saying, oh, you overpaid for that quarterback. It's not that. So look what happened to Goff. Look what happened to Wentz. And Jerry's there going, yeah, he got me. But you know what else I overpaid for? The Dallas Cowboys. That's how I made my fortune. And he's saying Dak is the latest example in an unimaginably successful career of the next special step Jerry's taken. It's an enormous compliment. Only Stephen A. Smith could see the insult in the compliment.
Because it's Jerry Jones. And because of how he's treated this man since he arrived as a Dallas Cowboy from the time that he's arrived. It's not a big deal. That's got his money. I'm sure he's not fazed by it. He's chilling. You understand what I'm saying? What he gets guaranteed? $66 million guaranteed? He's going to give about $75 million this year? He's chilling hard. Ooh. So I understand. I mean, I shrug it off my shoulders as well. It's not like I'm asking us to stop the presses. Oh, my Lord. Something big has happened. I'm just saying, if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. It was a backhanded slap. He's sitting right next to the man, Max.
It was a front-handed compliment.
Max. He ain't walking down the street. He's getting interviewed by somebody in Dak in some other part of town, or he's across the country, he's on vacation somewhere. The man is sitting right next to you, and he's going like this. Oh, yeah, he got me. All now. Right. I overpaid.
We
got
to go.
I overpaid. Really?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles. On some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. 1 year ago today, the NBA season abruptly came to a halt as Jazz center Rudy Gobert's COVID-19 test came back positive moments before the tip-off of a game. The NBA announced that night that it was on hold until further notice. This was the beginning of postponements and cancellations in the world of sports. Earlier, we asked Dr. Fauci about a possible return.
We have a vaccines, plural, now, and every day at least 2 million people, and we're likely more than that, every day will get vaccinated to the point where I believe we are approaching the normal situation we would like to see with regard to sports, particularly easier with outdoor like baseball. I mean, I can't tell you right now exactly what's going to happen, but I can tell you as we get into the spring and summer, you're going to see a progressive increase in the capability of getting people in the stands, maybe not full capacity right away, but certainly less than what we saw more than what we saw last year. And less restrictions.
Just to be clear, Dr. Fauci was answering the question. I was asking him when fans can return, when we can have stadiums and arenas at full capacity. Joining us now, this man needs no introduction, friend of the show, Mavs owner Mark Cuban. Mark, so good to see you. Thank you, sir, for being with us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Let's dive into some of what Dr. Fauci just said. And I want to ask about your state specifically, because the state of Texas is now open without a mask mandate. So how will you approach allowing fans into the arena?
I'm listening to Dr. Fauci. We're slowly but surely increasing the amount of fans within the constraints that the city and the county have set up. I think we had 3,500 last night. But, you know, we're going to be smart and we're going to be safe. My goal is that if vaccines continue to be implemented and the state of Texas continues to do a good job, which they have done in administering vaccines, that by the end of April and early May, we'll have a full house.
Mark, I'm interested in knowing how do you feel about how Texas has handled all of this. I'm not asking you to get into all of that, but I guess what I'm asking is, considering the voice that you are and the kind of influence that I believe you wield, have you ever thought about really speaking up and speaking to elected officials in your state, assuming you haven't, maybe you have? I'm just wondering what your approach is to that, considering the kind
of impact. I try to stay out of the local and state politics side of things. I mean, Texas is its own country when it comes to politics. But at the same time, we try to lead by example. And you know, it's very important to us not just to keep our fans safe, but our employees safe. And, you know, vaccinations are opening up, as Dr. Fauci said, and they're accelerating. I think Texas is already at 25% or more of vulnerable population vaccinated, and those numbers are going to just increase faster and faster. And so as we get more people vaccinated, we're going to be more confident in trying more things. you know, what I would have liked to have seen from the governor is that he used some foundation for the decision. If he would have said, okay, you know, when we get to 30% or 40%, we'll open up to this percentage. But he didn't. You know, what's done is done, and we're just going to try to use the science and be safe.
Mark, I thought your Dallas Mavericks were playoff sleepers this year. I thought you'd have beaten the Clippers last year if Porzingis didn't get some bad calls and then get hurt. I look at Porzingis now, and he's coming off a big, at least offensive game, and he, every year it seems, has to spend the entire season getting back to where he was. So he never gets to become what he should be. And there are rumors that he could be available in the right deal and all of that. Where are you on Kristaps Porzingis?
Patient, because you saw what KP can be last night. We're seeing more of that. It takes time. I mean, look at KD, a different injury, but you've got to be patient, particularly this year. I mean, it's just such a crazy year. We got hit by a COVID outbreak, you know, really bad, and that impacted our season. And everybody was like panicking and saying, you got to do A, B, or C. We don't. We have a good team. KP is showing what KP is. I mean, he's a great top 20 player. And so we're just going to be patient. We have a good team. There's no reason to panic or do anything.
Well, I definitely think you're right, and you've proven yourself to be right. You've won four straight. You won 11 of your last 14 games. Y'all are looking pretty good right now. But let me rewind the clock just a little bit to Luka Doncic a little bit earlier this season, because he sort of called out the team in terms of saying that we got to do better. We got to do better and what have you. And when he said that, you know, that's when people got up in arms, started really, really worrying about the Dallas Mavericks. When you heard him say that at that particular moment in time, Mark, what did you take from it, and how concerned were you that your young superstar was not happy?
Well, you talk to him. Nobody likes going through a losing streak, right? When you're in the middle of a losing streak, it's always painful, and it's always hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we just had the coach and I had conversations with all the players, you know, and I just told him, look, we're not panicking. We had five of our top eight rotation players out, either sick or contact tracing, all at the same time. We've lost more games to COVID illness than any other team in the NBA. We had the hardest schedule in the NBA. So all of a sudden, all those things are turning back in our favor. We're healthier. We're healthy. The schedule is tough for everybody in the second half, but it's a little bit lighter for us compared to the first half. And so, you know, now look at our record. We were five games under 500. And now we're three over and a chance to go four over tonight. So, you know, this every NBA season is a little bit crazy, but this one was a lot crazy. And I just preach patience.
Yeah, you guys get healthy and Porzingis stays healthy, you're going to be a problem in the playoffs. I still believe. Mark, I look at you and by the way, also for Tita in Houston. And I look at Texas, a no state income tax state, a warm weather state. Major metropolitan areas, you might even say cosmopolitan areas, right? Player-friendly owners, not I'll include Fertitta with you, who are media savvy and accessible to the media. And yet, for whatever reason, it's not like players avoid Houston or Dallas, but it doesn't seem to pop up among the markets that players are clamoring to go to. And I've never understood why. Is it because the Cowboys are so big in Dallas? What's your theory? Why is it like that?
When we were, you know, at the top of the standings perennially and winning 50 games every year, we never had cap room, right? You know, you got to have cap rooms before teams can talk about coming to you. And then when we did have cap room, we weren't a very good team. So now that's all changing. We have the opportunity, if we choose to go that way this summer, to have cap room. We've got a great team. We've got a great foundation. So we'll see what happens. I mean, one side says you just keep everybody you have, and corporate knowledge makes us a better team every year. Luka and KP continue to get better because they're so young. But, you know, we'll decide what happens come the summer. But, you know, people talk about, well, we never got the free agent and this or that. We never had cap room.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I got to ask you this. Max mentioned owners in the state of Texas, media savvy, amongst the most well-known. There's also Jerry Jones. So we had a debate right before you came on about his comments he had about Dak getting the new deal and overpaying for him. I want your take on that. I described it as a backhanded compliment. What do you say?
Yeah, it's kind of similar. I remember when I first bought the Mavs, it was the highest price ever paid for a team. And Jerry was one of the first people to call me up because everybody was killing me. And he said, he gave me the exact same quote. Everything that's ever turned out great for me, everybody else said I overpaid. And that's what he was saying about Dak, that this was a great deal for both sides. that Dak is such a great quarterback that this is going to look like a bargain a year, 2 years from now. So, you know, it was a backhanded compliment or tongue in cheek in some respects, but to knowing Jerry, it was the ultimate compliment. He's saying Dak is so good. While everybody else thinks I might have overpaid, he's going to be so amazing, I actually underpaid.
I don't know if I'm buying that, Mark Cuban, but I'm going to defer to you. I'm going to defer to you, Mark. Steven. I'm going to defer to you. I'm not sure I'm buying that one, Mark Cuban.
So, Steven, what you're saying is he called me 20 years ago with the exact same comment in anticipation of signing Zach before, you know, when Zach was 5 years old.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But let me get a little bit serious, but in a very complimentary way in this regard, Mark Cuban. I mean, obviously, you've got a championship. You're a successful owner for an NBA franchise. You got a successful television show. You're very articulate. Obviously, you're media savvy. You're on camera all the time. And I'm wondering, because of this pandemic and all the things that has happened and how your voice is really elevated in the mind's eye, as far as I'm concerned, do you have any aspirations on a personal level that extend beyond owning a basketball team and being a star on a television show? Any political aspirations, Mark Cuban? Yes, I'm asking.
Stephen A. Smith, I'm telling you the exact answer to your question. I have two aspirations. One is to win many more championships with Luka and KP, and two, to get everybody to watch Shark Tank on Friday nights on ABC. But other than that, and happy kids and happy family, I'm good.
Okay.
No political aspirations.
I believe you. I believe you there.
That's a great show.
I don't believe that Jerry Jones thing, but I believe that.
I don't believe a word of it. How you know if a politician's lying?
All
their
right.
Lips are moving. I just saw your lips moving.
You guys are killing me.
He's not a politician yet. Can't put him in that category. Mark, thank you so much. A lot of fun, as always.
Thank you, buddy.
Always. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.